Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of the Heart of a Youth Leader podcast and video, if you're watching on YouTube. Weekly support and encouragement for you in your youth and children's work. I know this is a busy time. Everyone's got more activity going on face-to-face and in our church buildings than we've had for a very long time. And I wonder how it's going for you. I wonder if you're enjoying it, whether you're daunted by it, whether there's a mixture of emotions going on for you, a mixture of emotions for our children and our young people, let alone their parents and their families. It's a challenging time, isn't it? And that's why these podcasts are being made. That's why I'm doing them, because I realize this is a difficult season and I want to support you. And I hope that these short videos, these short podcasts may encourage you to keep close to your Father, your Heavenly Father in these times. Keep close to Jesus. And, you know, as we are going back, everyone seems to have an opinion on how we should go back, how we should do things in our buildings once again, how we should do things in our youth groups, how we should do things with our children and our worship. And everyone's got opinion on what's the right thing to do or what's not the right thing to do. And I wonder what it's like for you at the moment and what it's like when you're disagreeing, perhaps with some of your those you lead with, you're actually having a difference of opinion, or they've chosen not to come back. Are you feeling the pain of volunteers going, actually, I don't want to do this anymore, or I'm not ready to go back to doing the commitment that I was doing before the pandemic? It's tough. And the question I want to ask us today is, how do we respond to people who don't want to do the same as we do, or are not giving the same level of commitment that we'd hoped for, or maybe have not led the young people in a way that we hoped they would lead? And I want us to look at a very short passage from 1 Samuel today to see what Samuel can bring to inspire us on how we should treat those we disagree with or let down by, or maybe even disappointed by. I find Samuel a fascinating character because actually we don't really find out too much about him. We know the early day, the early time when he was called, that famous thing when he's sleeping in the temple and the Lord calls his name and he thinks it's Eli, and how Eli eventually tells him to listen and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And we know that. We know that Samuel is faithful to God. And yet the fascinating thing is Samuel is a man of God, and yet his children are far from that. Even though Samuel is so spiritual, so close to the Lord, his children are not. They're far from him. And it's a challenge to us as Christian parents of, just because you've got a good relationship with God doesn't mean our children automatically do. But that's another podcast. What happens with Samuel is he grows old, and because his children are far from the Lord, the Israelites say, we want a king to rule us, not your children, because they're not close to God. They're not godly people. So give us a king so we can be like the other nations, the other countries. Oh, wow, isn't that a common thing of, we want to be like everybody else. We want our youth groups to be like a place that they wouldn't realize they're at church. We want the young people to feel like this, they could bring their friends here because there's nothing different about us. Oh, how we let ourselves down when we think like that. Actually, the reason we are church is because we are set apart, because we are different, because we're trying to live God's way rather than the world's way. And yet the amazing thing of when the Israelites ask for a king, even though Samuel says this is not right, even though God speaks through Samuel and says, this isn't what you need, both Samuel and, more importantly, God go, but if that's what you want, we'll give it to you. How disappointing it must have been for Samuel to know this isn't God's ideal for the people, and yet to be obedient in letting them appoint the king and seeking out Saul as the first king. I don't know whether you know the story of Saul, but it doesn't end well. And so when it comes to appointing Saul and anointing him as the king, Samuel says this really interesting thing. Samuel 12, chapter 12. It's called Samuel's farewell speech. He's an old man. He's listened to everything that the Israelites have said. He's given them the king, but he's disappointed because he knows this isn't ideal. I wonder if you feel like that with some of those you work with. You're disappointed because you know this isn't ideal. And he says, well, in verse 22, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, even though you're not doing what he wants. The Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. And then he goes on to say, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. I'm so touched by Samuel's humility here. He's going, what are you doing? You've got it wrong. And yet he's going, but the Lord won't let you go because he's faithful to you. Even when you choose to go in a direction he doesn't want you to go in. And so he's saying, come back. And that this challenging verse where he says, but far be it from me to sin by failing to pray for you. And I was thinking about this, of actually when people let me down, the first thing I do is not pray for them. The first thing I do is get frustrated and cross and go, how could they? I'm never speaking to them again. And yet Samuel's like, oh, you got it wrong. I need to pray for you. And so much that he would say it's sinful not to pray for them. Whoa, that's a challenge, isn't it? To pray for those people we disagree with. So when our vicar or our church leader or our minister or our pastor winds us up or doesn't understand what we're trying to do, the first thing we should do is not go and grumble about them to someone else. The first thing we should do is pray for them. Pray for them to keep close to the Lord, to keep walking with them. When that difficult youth leader doesn't turn up on time or says something inappropriate at the youth group gathering, our first thing is to pray for them, not to get frustrated. And I think that's a real challenge in these times for us, because none of us know the right thing to do. We're all trying to do our best, and we will disagree on what is good and what is not good and what is safe and what is not safe. But let's follow Samuel's example. When we disagree, let's pray for each other. Let's love each other. Jesus tells us to love, not fight, not argue, not grumble, not put ourselves above everyone else. And it's a humble thing to do. It's a humble thing that Samuel is doing, going, I don't think you're doing the right thing. In fact, I know you're not doing the right thing, but I'm still going ahead with it and giving you what you want. But I'm praying for you, and I'm not letting go, because I'm going to continue while I'm alive to teach you the way that is good and right. I'm still going to support you. I'm still going to help you know your Father as well as I can help you. And that's the commitment to our team, those who wind us up, even if it's a young person winding us up. Let's commit ourselves to them no matter what they choose to do. We can still commit to teaching them to walk in the ways of the Lord, and we can pray for them. So my challenge this week is, who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Who are the people who are making life a bit more difficult? And let's make our first response to pray for them. Not that they'll be more like me, not that they'll get it right, but they'll know their Heavenly Father and they will be close to him and be obedient. Because that's what I want someone to be praying for me. And I'm praying it for you this week. Go for it.